I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This segment is for Stu. Talk a little New York basketball. The Knicks lost again. Lost to the Wizards in a back-to-back situation. They've lost seven of their last nine. They play tonight in Miami. And somebody, I mean, you want to talk about tiring. Kristaps Porzingis is 22 years old. He's tired. And apparently he had two points the other night in their loss, 121-103. Lost 121-103. So let's give him a call, see if we can't get him up. He's in a Miami hotel room right now. Of course, it's 9:02 there. Let's see if we can't wake up. Del, you think you'll be able to get a hold of Kristaps Porzingis? Dude needs his rest because at 22 years old, a back-to-back situation is a bit much for him. Quoted as saying, "I'm tired. I'm tired right here." Okay. Kristaps is, do we have him? Did he wake up? There he is. There it is right there. Yeah, unfortunately, this is, might take a while. He's in a hotel room. Yeah, he's not. Oh. Did we talk to his agent? Did we talk to the Knicks organization and what'd they say?
They said okay, but he may be asleep, so we're not sure. They said we could try, though.
He said we could try, yeah.
At the tone, please record your voice message.
Yeah. Well, I thought this would be a problem. Can you call him again and see? Let's see if we can't get him. let's try again and see if Kristaps can't pick up this time. Should we even wake him, though? I mean, dude has been exhausted. I know he's 22 years old, but apparently, where's he from? Lithuania or somewhere? He's from Latvian. He's Latvian. Apparently, they need sleep. Here he is. Kristaps is joining us here. Porzingis on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Kristaps, sorry to wake you.
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, as we understand it. Listen, this will be short because we know that you're really, really tired. You only had 2 points in the second half the other night, but that was a back to back. Is that a little bit much for you at the age of 22?
Yeah, I don't weigh very much. It's tough for me to lift weights because my arms can't hold the bar. And I can't do squats because it hurts my legs. So very sad to do weightlifting, and it makes me very hard to get stronger and bigger and stronger. So the back-to-back,
Hello, Kristaps. Kristaps. Hey.
Yeah. Hello.
Kristaps. Gilbert. Kristaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like I was saying, what was I saying?
You can't lift because it's very tiring back to back.
The bar's too heavy. So,
yeah.
So I played in the back to back. It's very tough for Kristaps to have the proper energy. I need to take off back to back, maybe play 50 games, but get paid full, obviously.
Yeah.
But that day I had walked around the mall, and it added a lot of fatigue to my legs, and it's very tough because New York, you know, I don't know if you've been here before, but it's.
Yeah. Hello? Kristaps. Kristaps. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
So I was at the mall. They have the Cinnabon.
Maybe you should.
Makes me very sleepy as well.
You think
I
maybe.
Don't like candy.
Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't walk around the mall before the game. Maybe rest.
Oh my God. I live in New York, so it's hard for me to take the Uber because I don't want anyone to touch me inappropriate.
No. They have taxis in New York. Taxis.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I don't like the taxis. The subway has the poo on it. And the people scare me from the subways. They do play music on the bottom of cans. It's not like Latvia that much. But what time?
It's 9:07 in Miami.
Oh, God. I feel like I got hit by 100,000 pillows in the face.
Well, that's a death that no one wants. So, are you staying up late? What time are you getting to bed?
I don't get to bed until usually 4. Doing a lot of gaming.
What?
On the road, I play a lot of video games.
No.
Mostly first-person shooter games. And then they have a new Angry Birds out. I've been on my phone with the Angry Birds a lot. I think I can't remember. I fell down yesterday. I was trying to walk up steps, and I couldn't walk up steps because I played in the back-to-back two days earlier.
I know.
And I fell down because I just took a quick 10-minute nap on the steps to rejuvenate. If they would just pay me full and let me play 30 games.
30
now. Let me play Angry Birds. You left.
Wait, don't you think maybe you should? Hello, Kristaps.
Do you think do they have a league to play Angry Birds 2?
No, there's no.
Gaming?
Yeah, there is.
I can
gaming.
Play that back to back. I can do it because you don't have to lift weights. You just have to drink Red Bull.
Well, no. How about you should Angry Birds? I don't know when you're going to play a back to back. Maybe you should.
My legs hurt so bad from sleeping in bed. Oh,
wait!
I had to get up in hotel and brush teeth yesterday. Feels very much pain. I had to walk from the jet to a van. And my knees started to get tired. In Latvia, we work in potato factories for years. And my parents did it, which made me very tired to hear stories about it.
Your parents were tired too? Yeah.
No, they worked 21 hours a day. I just got tired of listening to their stories.
Oh, okay. You needed a nap?
Yeah. When people talk to me too long, I'm getting tired now. It's cold.
you Kristaps, try to stay awake. Wait.
It's hard to talk on the phone a little long time because we get sleepy.
Maybe less mall walking, less Angry Birds, maybe more sleep, and maybe then you can play more than 30 games. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes my thumbs get very tired from trying to kill the birds. And I can't shoot so good, like when I scored 2 points in one half, because I had fatigue thumb. Carmelo used to say, let's go to strip club. No, wait, let's not. Lala will get mad. Let's go to strip club, but don't tell Lala. I said, okay. Then this woman named Coco was putting her jumbo on top of my wing wing, and then I fell asleep, and she was mad and took money out of my wallet. Like somebody from a World Star video who got knocked out. She just reached in and grabbed the wallet and took money out of Kristoff's wallet. And I got up to say something, but fell to the ground of fatigue.
You were tired.
And then they did all kinds of dances on top of my face.
Like,
and then took more money out of wallet.
Like Jamaican?
I didn't ask for it, but Carmelo laughed at me.
It's like a Jamaican club? They were jumping on top of you?
He took me to Jamaican dance hall in the Bronx one time, and this big girl jumped on me from table, broke my hip. Oh,
I didn't hear about that.
Doesn't do squats.
I didn't hear about that.
Kristoff skips leg day.
Well, okay.
I once lost a push-up contest to a two-year-old girl.
Oh. You okay? Well, I know you're tired.
Please make this stop. This NBA schedule is too tough. Oh. I'm already fearing for All-Star Weekend.
Okay. Well, get some rest, Kristoff. So you got a game tonight. Okay, don't walk around the mall or play Angry Birds or something. He's tired. We better let Kristoff sleep. Let Kristoff go to bed. That's, you know what, Dell?
What did he call it? What did he call that stripper's thing? What did he call it? And what did he call his thing?
The wing wing.
A wing wing. Is that slang in Latvian?
I don't know what that is. But he fell asleep again.
That's not right to take money out of somebody's wallet.
No.
You gotta, I'm not sure if you can trust strippers.
But he fell down.
This is a little American. This is a little knowledge you should get as soon as you walk, set foot in New York. You don't trust anyone, but you especially don't trust strippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that should have been one of the first things Melo taught.
Whatever there is on their wing wing.
That doesn't.
No. They're going to take money out of your pocket. If you fall asleep at a strip club while the stripper is on your wing wing, then chances are you're going to get your wallet stolen.
Yeah, she's going to get in there.
She's
going to
get in there. Yeah,
get your wallet.
Yep. Yeah. All right. You know who I'm betting on tonight? Miami. Because you know why? Yeah. Kristaps is tired.
Where are you going to do that, John?
And mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. What I need you to do is go to mybookie.ag and start the process. You know how long the process takes? A minute. Yep. You just deposit money. And they'll match up to 50%, and then you can start betting. I hope you took the Rockets in the first and second quarters last night. I hope you did. That's all I'm hoping. I'm hoping that happened, and if it did, then you won money. But you took Golden State for the game, then you would have won money. Point being, you know who's going to win. You might as well make money off it. You got all the playoff games tomorrow and Sunday. You've got a wonderful, wonderful NBA slate where now you know you have to bet on Miami because Kristaps will probably fall asleep during the game. So what I need you to do is go to mybookie.ag, put in promo code radio, and start. Let's go. Play. You win, they pay. That's the key to it. But put in promo code radio, and they'll match up to 50% of your first deposit at mybookie.ag.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, really funny guy. Steve Byrne is going to be at the Improv tonight, two shows, tomorrow, two shows, and he's with us in studio right now. And we'll give away tickets here, so keep on listening. Funny, funny. I watched a bunch of your stuff yesterday, as a matter of fact. Just laughing. Yeah, no, it was great.
I'm here to literally apologize in person. I do that whenever I see somebody click and press play. I fly to wherever they are. I knock on the door and say, I'm sorry, I'm better than that.
Well, you,
and you are too.
You don't have to lay on the floor here.
I don't have to lay on the floor. Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That's one of the great things. So I've listened to, one of the things that's really helped me get, I've always been into stand-up comedy, but...
Yes, because I'm here for you. Yes, yes.
Yes, what is yeah. It? But one of the things that I really think is great is that there's a couple different satellite channels. There's really like four that are dedicated to comedy, four or five.
Yep.
And they do the little snippets, the raw dog, and then also I think it's Comedy Central are the two that I have programmed. And so
that's
something you
brag about to mom, by the way. It's like, Mom, I finally made it. I'm on Raw Dog. Yeah. What's the Raw Dog, Steve? I'm not on Raw Dog. I'm sorry, Mom.
So you get your little. You know, it can be 3 minutes, it could be 8 minutes, and you get little snippets, and they switch to the next comedian, and it's a good way to sample and find new comedians. And you've got plenty of stuff on there. There's a lot of different comedians who have sets and things, and so it's a good way to rediscover or to discover comedians. And there's been a great resurgence over the last, I would say, I don't know, I mean, it seems like maybe 5 or 6 years,
yeah,
where stand-up comedy has made a huge resurgence again.
Yeah, like those serious. Or whatever those comedy channels, right. It's literally like a better version of Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed, where there's never any segues. It's like, somebody's talking about their ex-wife. It's like, so you just got a fireplace, right, Steve? And you're like, now you got to do your fireplace bit. But
yeah,
it's kind of a an odd thing.
It's like the NFL red zone for comedy.
Yeah,
where
for
it's just,
comedy,
and let's
yeah.
swing to this.
Yeah. But I think especially now, whenever culturally, when things are. When things are bad, when there's a recession or everybody feels divisive politically, or 9/11, for example, comedy, for some reason, people always gravitate back towards comedy. And I remember when I was a young comic in New York City, 9/11, that first week, me and a bunch of young comics that are working at the Comedy Cellar thought, all right, well, that's over. I got to get a real job now.
That was you really thought that was
oh,
it,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, all of us. And it was like, you could still smell the buildings burning. It's like, who's going to come and laugh? Nobody's going to come to any of these clubs. And for all of us, that was our bread and butter, doing 5 or 6 shows a night. That was how we paid our rent. And we're just thinking, all right, it's done. And then I think the Comedy Cellar was the first club to open maybe like a week later, and it was packed. And I just remember, even at that age, at a young kid, young guy in stand-up, I'm like, if this is – I'll never be out of work. I just remember thinking that I'll never be out of work. People always need to laugh. And I think when the crap hits the fan, especially, that's when people really need to laugh. And I think especially now with all the politically divisiveness, the nature of no matter what side you're on, there's a reason that these ratings have spiked on all these networks with political satire, because I think people want some release from it. They want some relief.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Steve Byrne is with us in studio. He's at the Improv tonight. 2 shows. Tomorrow, 2 shows. 713-333-8800. We'll give away a couple of tickets here in just a little bit.
Yeah, if you like what you heard so far,
it's
please come, because I'd like to deconstruct. I like to deconstruct what comedy is and means to people. Not
I wanted to
tell
say,
jokes.
I wanted to say funny stuff
funny,
on the 9/11 stuff. Was, Steve. Not,
when the you always start burning. With your 9/11.
Let's talk about the floods here.
Let's lead with disasters.
Well, Chappelle is going with shaming victims. He's under fire. So
it's so crazy, because it's like we've gotten to a point where. Comedian, you're being offended at watching a comedian, where it's like you're literally going, you're clicking on a program. It's like, all right, let's take these jokes seriously.
Right.
It's like, you know what you're getting into. Why are you being offended in the realm of comedy? I don't understand.
It's a new thing too, because you guys could have said anything you wanted before.
It's yeah, and look,
but not now.
And if you come down on stand-up, or if you come down on the world of stand-up is literally the last vessel in which there is free speech, where you can literally say anything. I mean, Joel knows, as somebody that travels internationally, there's countries you can't make fun of the president. There's countries you can't make fun of the government. But we have that freedom here, and I think people, anybody that goes online and trolls comics or dumps on comics. It's like you're literally going to change the course of society then at some point by being offended at all this stuff. And comedy clubs are going to have restrictions. That's the last place that should have restrictions.
One of the things that I think has really happened is nuance of language is lost on a Twitter generation and on a text message generation because I don't think they get. I think there's a younger audience who doesn't, unless there's an emoji that tells them they're, you know, that alerts them to sarcasm.
Right.
A lot of times there's not an understanding of the nuance of subtleness and sarcasm and facetiousness, and everything is taken so seriously and personally when comedy is not to be taken seriously.
No, not at all. I mean, look, Chappelle is literally one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet in your life. Literally the nicest human being you'll ever meet. He's a loving, caring, very intelligent guy. And when that last round of specials came out and he was getting dumped on for the trans jokes, it's like, look, it's relevant. It's having an impact on society. And isn't that what you want from your best comics? To address the situation and talk about it and explore it and find those dark places and lift up the rocks and find the worms underneath. I think he should be celebrated for it. But, of course, there's always that neighborhood of folks that are waiting to get upset. And I think there is a younger generation that I find it deplorable what they find – as comedy, what they define as comedy, what they think is actual comedy.
Which is what?
There's a whole generation of comics. Patrick Keane, one of our openers on this weekend, has a great line about, you know, this like alternative comics, for example. He's like, it's just a bunch of kids reading their diary on stage thinking, right?
Isn't what is this brand of comedy? I don't even know what that is.
What's that?
What like alternative comedy? What is this
alt
new
comic
brand of comedy?
Is like, you know, it's like the too cool for school attitude where somebody like Gabriel Iglesias, for example, or somebody who's more mainstream like Tim Allen or like Jay Leno is the perfect example of somebody who's harmless, who's mainstream, who's crafting a great joke, right? And then you have people that love the Letterman camp that's a little more esoteric and subversive.
Sure.
So I think, like, those are the party lines that are drawn in the world of comedy, right? Where it's like, why can't there be room for everybody to be accepted and appreciated? Like David Cross years ago dumped on Larry the Cable Guy. It's like Larry the Cable Guy is not thinking about David Cross when he's on his property in Oklahoma fishing in his private lake on his boat.
By the way, not even his actual – it's a character, by the way.
Completely.
And David Cross has always been – I mean, you know, that's – he was really edgy – He was in the very, very edgy camp for a long time. But it has been – he was with that whole Garofalo set that was very
– So that's like,
know,
the alt scene.
Cool. I got you.
Society in general, it's like you'll have a guy like Anthony Bourdain who's dumping on Guy Fieri. And it's like Guy Fieri seems like a pretty nice guy. And Anthony Bourdain seems like an like get off my lawn kind of like angry kind of dude.
Very much
like,
so, yeah.
Why is this guy who's not likable at all dumping on this guy that couldn't be nicer? Just going to these mom and pop kind of places around the country, and yeah, he's got these frosted tips and he's got an eccentric personality, but he seems like a good dude. So it's like that's the elitist kind of attitude.
I got you.
That all said, you have Asian and Irish blood, right? Which Lance and I both thought that would be a lot more interesting if you were a girl.
No offense.
No offense.
Well, if I was trying to work in the adult film industry, yeah.
Yeah. That's what we thought.
No offense.
Yeah. You know,
you're comedians in the adult film industry. You're both a little ragged after a few years. Like, it's this time on the road, I've been beat up, and I don't like life. And that's the one thing is comedians start here. I'm interested with you. You're a young comedian, right? So go back and watch young Patton Oswalt. Go watch young Louis C.K. Go watch these young guys. Because I watched young Louis C.K. on I think it was an old Rodney Dangerfield special. Mm. And you watch them when they're young and their comedy when they're young. Even Bill Hicks.
Yep.
And then when they get older in comedy, I mean, woo, it is a cynical, and the life you guys live on the road, and it's a little bit of a grind, obviously.
It's a grind. It's a grind for people that make it a grind, though. It's like literally if you work in a factory, right, and if you literally are putting the same three parts on the conveyor belt every day for 25 years, you're going to be miserable. And that's what it is for comics that do the same stuff over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. If you're always creating, if you're constantly giving yourself the challenge, I think that can help curb the isolation and the solitude of the profession of stand-up. But look, I'm one of the guys that I'd rather walk towards the light. I'm just my nature is I'm more positive, and I know that there are a lot of cynical people in comedy, and that's why they got into it in the first place. A lot of the guys at the Cellar when I was starting off are dark human beings.
Who is it that did Don't Think Twice, the movie? Yeah, Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
I thought that was really an interesting movie because it shows – it's an improv troupe made up of comedians, by the way. But it shows how they didn't really love when somebody got a chance that they – like, they want to make it big. And so when somebody else gets that shot to make it big – and there was another show on Showtime, I'm Dying Up Here, about stand-up comedy scene in the 70s – late 70s in Los Angeles, and it kind of shows that comedians, you know, they all want to make it, but when somebody else makes it, it's got to be a little bit tough to see this guy gets a TV show or this guy, you know, ends up getting a break on a one-hour stand-up show. I mean, is that tough? Do you see that inside the business?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, the minute somebody gets some, it's like everybody's waiting to pile on them. But the minute they show up in the hallway at the comedy store, it's like, hey, man, congratulations. So awesome. I'm so happy
for you. Let me know if you need a writer.
We're just talking crap on the guy. But, yeah, look, I'm somebody who had the experience of having three seasons on the air and getting phone calls from supportive friends. And I know what a tough grind it is. No matter if that person is likable or not, I still respect somebody for getting on the air. It's such a difficult thing to do. So I'm always rooting for comics. I really am. And I think like that's why Joel and I started working together, because we've known each other for years. But I did a documentary on The Amazing Jonathan. Do you guys remember Jonathan?
Yeah.
Huge comic.
You did a documentary on him?
Yeah, because 3.5-4 years ago, he was given a terminal diagnosis. And he's outlived all expectations. He was given a year to live. And he pulled himself off the road. And the impetus for me getting involved was, oh, he's doing some shows back again. He's going to go and do these three shows on the East Coast and come out of retirement. But there's this great story about him meeting Joel at the age of 12 and taking him under his wing. So I think as cynical as – to go back to your point, the reason I started bringing it up is because there are some really dark people in comedy. Jonathan could be considered one of those guys. He's a very dark human being, but – very sweet. And the fact that this guy, who's the last guy in the world you would ever think would take a 12-year-old kid from Australia under his wing, did, and had him working for him full time with a plethora of drugs and women and late nights and all this stuff.
How awesome for you.
I didn't get any of that.
What?
And you're all good?
Yeah. Joel, how awesome for you.
Yeah.
But all the crazy stuff that he was immersed in, like the world of drug deals and being left in junkyards with barking Rottweilers and pit bulls and hitmen. It's like a crazy story. But again, I think it's like, I think comics at the end of the day do have that cloudburst at some point, because if Jonathan has it, then everybody wants to.
So Joel and Steve tonight, right? And you had who else was opening?
Patrick Keane.
Nice. So you're gonna get a bunch of comedy. 713-333-8800 if you want tickets. How about call right now? 713-780-3776. Caller number 8 is gonna get the tickets tonight. We'll take your name, your first and last name, and your phone number, and now leave your tickets up at the front at the Improv. We'll give them away for what show do you want to give away tonight?
Any show tonight or tomorrow.
Early, late, tomorrow. On Friday and Saturday. So if you want to go see some funny guys,
and
you know, 9/11
notwithstanding,
talk
about comedy, not do it.
Right,
yeah, yeah. This
right.
Is definitely
it's
the show
different.
For you. We
That'll
will
be
talk
different
about comedy.
Well, some of your best stuff, some of your funniest stuff that I've heard was, you know, marriage stuff is really easy for single people. You can even gravitate towards it because you know that you can identify with it through friends or whatever.
Yeah.
For married people, when you have the relationship stuff and you talked, oh my gosh, the bit about walking through, was it San Francisco where the guy was eyeballing your wife?
After he was
just sitting and taking a dump. But
true story, by the way.
Yeah. My wife and I, it's so funny.
Guys,
about
rocking a deuce hitting on my wife.
Yeah. And where was it? Was it in San Francisco?
No, it was downtown Los Angeles. We were going to eat, and this guy is squatting down. Powerful
it's really
plot,
a true story.
Totally true story. He's rocking a deuce, and he looks at my wife and he goes, well, hello, beautiful. And Mario's like, oh, my God. We literally go to eat lunch. And she's like, we are not going to walk home that way. I'm like, are you? We are definitely walking home that way. I need to see the people's champion again. And we go back, and he's getting arrested. And he's got no pants. He's standing by his work of
art. Feels like everything's tied together, though, from previously to the arrest.
Yeah. So we're walking by, and he's like literally yelling at the cops. And then he sees my wife again. He's like, well, hello again. It's like, what world does this guy live in where it's like they shared a moment earlier and he needs to say hello again? It was like, that guy's my hero.
Speaking of heroes, look at this. I got tweeted this picture. I'm Irish and Asian. This girl right here. See, that's what you would be if you were a girl, Steve.
That's what I would be if I was a girl. That's so, guys, right. If you ever wanted to bang me, just go to look at that picture play the audio clips of me talking about my wife taking a dump.
That's it.
Yeah, that'll get you hopped up.
That if that doesn't get you going.
Well, Olivia Munn, she's half Asian, half white. Daniel Henne, do you guys know who that guy is? He's like on CSI. He's Korean and Irish, and he's like, I look like him if he was cast in Philadelphia.
Where are you originally from?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, so are you a sports fan at all? Is that that's not Steelers hat?
It is a Steelers hat.
Oh, it
that's
is?
That's a Steelers
I kinda
hat.
I kind of like that. I haven't seen that
old
before.
School Steelers hat. Yeah, I went to a game like 3 weeks ago, so I got this.
So you don't consider yourself Asian American?
You know, it's funny because I've been talking about – I'm working on a new hour basically this
just try your stuff out here. It's fine.
Well, one of the things I'm doing is monologue jokes. Because we were talking about this earlier, what people think is funny or what people think is like comedy, and I think so many of the stand-up specials these days is somebody pontificating, and I don't know. I think like out of that alt scene, there's a lot of storytelling, but I miss the days of hard jokes, great jokes, and monologue. Carson was clean. There was an intelligence to it. So I've been working with this guy, Argus, and you know, for example, like being Korean, you have to address Kim Jong-un, right? So Kim Jong-un... You know, like for example, right now it's award season for the film industry in Hollywood, and Kim Jong-un is the odds-on favorite for best animated short. It's like, I like jokes like that, and getting to do that. Like, there's I don't know if you guys know this, a Hunger Games theme park recently opened in South Korea. It's called North Korea. Kim Jong-un recently achieved the highest rank in the North Korean army, 5'6". There's like an old school mentality to fun, clean, crisp jokes that I appreciate.
Do you appreciate Anthony Jeselnik, who is literally the polar opposite, who his jokes are so dark, but they're also jokes. Like they're not observations. Jokes. They are old school, hardcore jokes, but they are so – John, you got to hear Anthony Jeselnik. It's so dark – but you don't know where any of the punchlines. I try every single time, and I never know where he's going with any of them.
He's really – look, he's a perfect example of like somebody that's very relevant. He took that old-fashioned style of joke writing and made it relevant, made it his own, and he's very dark. And what's crazy is that he's a Pittsburgh guy. Offstage,
right.
Couldn't be nicer.
Is that right?
It's crazy. He's like really like got a warm personality. But you know, underneath there's a darkness and coming out.
You don't write that stuff.
Sure, yeah,
yeah. But his comedy special got canceled. He says because he wouldn't back off of some of the stuff that he wanted to do. He didn't want to back off of an idea that he had. And they said, hey, we gotta dial it back, TV. And he said, no, I'm not going to dial it.
He'll
back.
Be rewarded for that too. A lot of the comics that stick to their guns eventually at some point it comes full circle.
Yeah. We gotta cut it there. Joel and Steve at the Improv tonight, two shows, tomorrow two shows. 713-333-8800 if you want to go see him. 713-333-8800 at the Improv tonight and tomorrow. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
you guys.
Thank you guys
so much. It was great talking comedy.
Joel, thanks for jumping in there.
Yeah,
that
Joel?
One time where you got to say three words.
One laughing out. That's what I did.
836 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 841 ESPN 97.5. Quick segment here. We went a little long, though, seeing as how this is when we should start this break.
Yeah, you're unprofessional. I understand.
We had guests in studio.
I'm aware.
See, I was that was such a shame for Joel, who I really didn't catch his last name. Didn't know he was part of the show.
He was just sitting there.
He was just sitting there waiting. He was Australian, and he was very polite and just sat there. And unfortunately, I didn't know that it was supposed to be both of the guys that we were introducing.
Well, blame Lance.
That's probably a Lance thing. You're right. You're right. But we did have Steve Byrne.
Speaking of, where is Lance?
By the way, go to YouTube and see, and watch Steve Byrne.
It's B-Y-R-N-E.
R-N-E,
if you're wondering how to spell it. B-Y-R-N-E.
B-Y-R-N-E. He is a funny dude. Funny dude. You know, that interview notwithstanding.
Well, it was more serious because... Why didn't you guys get him to do impressions?
I don't know.
Isn't that what comedians do when they come here? They run through their bits as opposed to actually having a real conversation like we did just now?
Right.
I'm a fan of that as opposed to, hey, what'd you do? What happens when you're in Cincinnati by yourself? Tell a joke. Come on. Right. What happens?
Right. Well, yeah, we didn't really do that. Well, we got into the theory of comedy.
Comedy.
As opposed to...
I appreciate that conversation more than the running through his bits.
Right.
When he's the ones he's going to do later tonight.
Right. Lance is a comedy aficionado.
Well, he dresses like a comedian.
A New York comedian, right?
Yeah. We all know that.
We all know that, yeah. We've seen the picture with his legs crossed and his hat on.
Is Lance actually going to come back and do a show?
We don't know that. But because, you know what? We got to take a break anyway.
That's true.
I've got a couple of stories. This is what I wanted to do with him, is there is a story here of a boss who said this in a memo to the rest of the company. As a reminder, our team members should only be using the leasing office bathroom for bodily functions that produce no odor. Often enough, our prospects ask to use the bathroom, and if there is an odd smell present when they use the bathroom, it can give them a very different impression of our community. So you can't dump in the bathroom.
What's considered an odd smell in the bathroom?
Have you ever been in our bathroom?
Yeah, but I don't consider that odd. I consider that par for the course. When you're in a bathroom, you expect that smell. What would you consider, roses would be an odd smell in the bathroom?
Well, pungent. It stings the nostrils.
That's what a bathroom is there for.
Well, but it's also there. Well, okay, so if you eat asparagus, can you even pee in there? Oh, is a question.
Probably not.
Probably not. Because that produces an odd odor. But you can't dump in their bathroom. See, that's the kind of thing I wanted to ask Steve about. A no dumping bathroom.
Well, he talked about a guy dumping in public while hitting his wife.
Right. Might as well go out while he's sitting on his wife. Right.
Maybe that guy was thrown out of a bathroom much like that one and decided, where else am I going to go?
I can't go. They won't let me go in the leasing office. So I'm going to have to go right here.
We got rules about the smells you can produce in a bathroom.
Unwritten. Just like baseball.
What's an unwritten rule? What's an unwritten smell?
You know it when you smell it.
Yeah.
No, but you expect something when you go in there.
Yeah,
no,
you do, but there's...
Not that.
You flush
where
or you bring in your own poopery.
Not where it punches you in the face.
You bring in your own poopery.
Sorry.
No one expects that.
I don't like using public restrooms much like most people, and I don't dump in public restrooms. But if you go in a public restroom, you shouldn't be surprised by the smell.
No, especially if there's workers up here.
Yeah, but this is where they're trying... Apparently, they're trying to lease out... this is a leasing place. You don't want to walk into a bathroom where it's, where it chokes you.
Don't walk in that bathroom.
And then you're like, well, I don't want to lease anything here.
Don't
you smell this place?
Don't walk into the bathroom then. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-huh. It's not typically what you want.
No. All right. Let's catch up on breaks here on ESPN. Yeah, Why don't you talk about our Rockets?
I want to tell you about our Rockets. Our Rockets have a chance to go to the All-Star game. And we're talking about Clint Capella, who's averaging 14-11, Eric Gordon, CP3, James Harden. All you have to do is vote daily to help them make the All-Star game. Post your votes in your Facebook status by tagging them with the player's first and last name, along with the hashtag NBA vote. It's hashtag NBA vote. Tweet and retweet daily, Eric Gordon, hashtag NBA vote. Vote on the NBA mobile app or at NBA.com. Fans can also vote by enabling the NBA All-Star skill on Amazon's Alexa platform and then asking NBA All-Star to vote for their player of choice daily. There are so many ways to vote, and it takes less than 60 seconds. Don't forget, the two highest vote getters are going to actually choose the All-Star teams this year. So they're doing it a little bit differently. For all the voting details, visit Rockets.com and follow the Rockets' official Twitter and Facebook pages.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, what did you think of the announcement, no Game of Thrones until 2019?
That I didn't hear that. They pushed it back again?
Yeah. No Game of Thrones this year.
That's going to be harsh for some people. I mean, it might mean that we actually, not that you care, but we might actually get a book before the series is actually over. That guy, the author, owes us two books, or owes readers two books, and he's way behind. But
yeah, I don't give a rat's
ass. I know you don't care. That. It doesn't kill me. It's not great, but it's fine. I'm all right.
No Game of Thrones, Lance. 2019 is the first... when it'll come up.
Yeah. I mean, it usually
it gives you something to live for.
I guess they're going to keep me alive, string me along that much longer. They say they are super paranoid right now about spoilers.
They're like they've got seven different endings.
Something was flying overhead and the whole cast freaked out. They thought it was a drone. And it turns out it was, but it was from their sound effects people. They were just testing something and everyone was super on edge. But the cast, supposedly, they're not really that worried about anyone from the cast leaking it because this cast is all in on the show. And they love the fact that people have the reactions they do to the things that happen. They don't want it to leak early. So, you know, my wife is one of those who reads. It bothers me
reads
to no
books?
End.
Period?
Well, first of all, yeah, she's one of those weird people that reads books.
Huh.
But also that will read... She hasn't read that book, but I mean...
Oh, she reads about what's going to happen on the show?
Oh, she spoils everything for herself. Oh. She will read the
Why
end
do
of
you
a,
do that?
In the first 100 pages of a book, she'll go read the last three pages. Swear to God, it makes me so mad. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, because you
Why would you do that?
Because she just you get too anxious.
She doesn't want surprises.
She doesn't want to be anxious.
I know someone like that, and it I was like, why? What's the point of reading a book if you like spoilers and you want to move to the end?
That's
why,
like, okay,
what's the point?
That's like in sports. When I've got a game recorded, I don't want to know what happened because if I already know what happened, you know what the chances are I'm going to watch the second and third quarter of a Rockets game or any of it? If I record a Rockets game and I happen to get home because I'm at a dinner or whatever and I watch the last 7 minutes of the game, I'm probably not going to watch the first 3 minutes. I think I will, but then I don't.
I kind of felt like that about the Rockets game last night. I didn't have to watch the fourth quarter.
But you did the first three? First three. Ask Gray Hill if the first and second quarter were surprising.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
very surprising.
And ass-kicking,
very surprising.
Wasn't it? Yeah. And hurtful, wasn't it?
It was really hurtful.
Fourth quarter was not as surprising.
No. It all worked out
it
in the
all
end.
Did. In
it balanced
the end,
out. It balanced,
it balanced out.
Out.
It all worked out in the
Paid
end.
For the
no,
juice.
It didn't. They lost. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It didn't work out in the end.
Oh, no, we were talking about something else.
No, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about a different thing.
First halves and full game bets. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that was a fun first half. It was an intriguing game. Like, all right, cool.
First
look.
Three quarters, the Rockets were scrappy as hell.
And Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were like, guys, just 1 second real quickly.
Y'all know this is a 36-minute game.
Yeah, right? And they said, you know like how the Rockets earlier in the season in their 14-game winning streak, they would just all of a sudden you blink your eye and what, they're up 15?
Yep.
The Warriors are like, hey, you know, we can do
that.
Yeah,
I know we
also.
Invented that, right?
Yeah, we got this. And by the way, the Game of Thrones 2019, that's if there are no sexual assaults or something, right? Like you never know with Hollywood what if something happens
then
and
have
we
to
don't
write
want that. You just never know. And then they're like, we're
John Snow
thought
out.
About that. Then
they're
going
to have to write Jon Snow
we
out.
You have to kill off a wildling.
No, you just cancel the whole show.
You can't. Jon Snow would never sexually
No, it's an ensemble.
Anyone.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't crush the whole show.
No. Y'all trusting that dragon?
No, they could just kill somebody right off the bat. I don't trust the dragon.
Yeah, I trust the dragon.
It's CGI. I trust it.
Littlefinger's dead, so, you know, that's off the table.
I'm just saying, man. You
spoiler
never know
alert.
Dude.
Spoiler alert.
Jamie Lannister. Here you go.
Jamie Lannister might.
No, he doesn't have. I don't know. Does he?
Oh, really?
What do you mean he doesn't have to?
I don't have to.
Did Darren Sharper have to?
No.
Yeah. No.
Hey, girl, why don't you come get some of this hand?
Hmm.
That fake hand? I don't want any.
You think he wears that around? No, that's not. Del, you can't be.
I hate when Del says stuff in our ear.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, that is kind of BS that we're celebrating Jamie Lannister and another guy can't even get invited to the combine.
Stop.
King Griffin?
Yeah.
He's celebrated too. He will be there. He'll be there.
Yeah. Why is his brother?
I think so. This is a serious question. I'm not even joking. You know, he's going to have to, if he goes to the combine, he has to go through gauntlet drill, which linebackers do, or it's not gauntlet. They don't go through gauntlet, but they go through pedal and then drive, pedal, mm-hmm. drive, and you have and to catch a football. And that's like, if you don't know, Shaquem Griffin, his brother, is an outstanding corner for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
And I think they're twins. And Shaquem was born without a hand.
At four, it was amputated.
Okay.
He wasn't born with that. But, I mean, at four.
Good linebacker. Yeah. He plays with two arms, but one hand on his right hand. So he clearly is doing what he has to as a tackler. Like, I looked up his tackle numbers out of curiosity one time. He's a good tackle finisher. He doesn't, you know, it's going to be harder without a hand. Troy Fumagalli.
How many interceptions does he have?
I'm going to say none.
Three.
Correct.
Yeah. You know why? Because I'm like all in on Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah, you can trap it.
You can trap.
What are you talking about?
You can catch it.
I'm sure he's been catching his whole life. One's thrown a football to him his whole life. You're right. He's adapted.
How many interceptions does the average linebacker rusher have per season?
Not that many.
Not that many.
How many times
are they put in that position? Maybe three times a year, four times a year?
Yeah, that's true. Not that many.
So how would that be a knock on him?
But here's the thing. So Troy Fumagalli is a tight end at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He lost his index finger. He had it amputated. Or he lost it in a farm accident or something. So Andy Fenelon, who wrote an article about him, he said, Lance, can you ask any of your NFL guys, like, how much that hurts his stock not having an index finger? And I asked a buddy of mine who said, tell your writer, whoever's writing this article, ask them if they didn't have a finger, if they could still write articles. And the answer is yes. Yeah. Okay, then he'll be fine too. Because last I checked, you can watch tape and shows him catching the ball all the time. And he doesn't. He doesn't drop the ball. Like he learned to adapt to not having this finger on his hand. So, you know what's the craziest thing? You had a guy like Jim Abbott, who was a really good pitcher. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his right hand. Just put the glove over the stump on his hand, and that's how he. And then, no,
he put it under his arm.
Yeah, he put it under his arm. That's right, to throw.
Right.
Yeah. God, that's kind of crazy. But if you've been doing that your whole life, you adapt, and it's not that big a deal.
I guess.
It's
a superpower almost.
Daniel Day-Lewis painted with his foot one time. It was an act. He was an actor.
Yeah, it was a movie.
But a guy really did that in real life, I think.
Are you going to put that in your scouting report?
Yes.
Kind of reminds me of Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm not going to put NFL comparison Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, you just say. You just say. We've seen.
I can immediately be terminated for that.
No, I'm not saying you put an NFL comparison because there is no NFL comparison.
NFL comparison, Captain Hook.
No, you just say, no. We've seen others in their professions.
Jamie Lannister?
It didn't stop Captain Hook from being a great captain, did it?
What, dude? I got to see what I say. Like, weaknesses, missing a hand?
No, you can't put that.
Can I write that?
No.
But that's really a real thing. Like,
that's not a weakness. That's a strength. Because without that missing hand, he probably doesn't have that drive and the edge to become one of the, like, fiercest tacklers.
In real life.
I'm serious.
In real life, if he is ranging to the right, and he has no hand, there's no left hand. Yeah. He's ranging to the right. Usually, with your outside hand, you reach to grab and try to hold up a jersey so you can slow him down, and then you wrap up and tackle.
There is not that that's not going to happen. That's not a weakness. It absolutely is a weakness.
Watch the tape and let's see how he does.
Actually,
it.
I am going to watch the tape. Yeah. I'm not going to let you and Dell watch at the same time because it'll be too snarky. It'll be a snarky film session.
What if you're a team who's had a lot of face mask penalties? Don't you draft them because those are going to decrease?
I can't do this.
That's just in the.
I can't do this with this.
Okay, if you were watching that UCF game, John, you watched the UCF game. Who popped the most? He was one of the guys that popped.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a great player. The thing is, you got to go back and look and see how many interceptions he dropped.
I mean, I can't. Chris said, just say it. No hand equals undrafted free agent.
That's not true. I think he. Oh, I don't.
Let's look at it. I'm going to look at it.
Dude was the defensive player of the year in the American last year, not this year. But last year, he was the defensive player of the year. He is going to get drafted.
Let me see. Shaquem Griffin, and I'm going to put draft, and I'm going to look at where they have him at NFL Draft Scout. Because
let's
just
on the other side. Let's continue this. All right. I have another comparison.
Let's continue our bit.
No, it's not a bit.
We're not going to do a bit about the one-handed player.
How would a referee describe an illegal hand to the face penalty?
Oh.
Illegal hand to the face.
Dan Lebatard says Shaquem Griffin should have won the Heisman. Let's slow down a little bit here, okay?
Well, that's what Dan Lebatard said. All right, 713-780-3776.
All right, here's his current draft.
All right, we'll get it on the other side.
Other side.
On the other side. That's a tease. We did that.
No, it took like six minutes to set
Houston
up.
Sports leader.
Yeah.
That is it.
ESPN 97.5.
Healthcare is so overwhelming. My doctors rushed through visits. I was billed for things that should be covered, and no one was really listening. I felt lost. That's why I called Solace. They paired me with a trained healthcare advocate who actually knew how to get things done. She helped me find the right doctor, coordinate transportation after surgery, and overturn a medical bill. She even joined my appointments to make sure I got real answers. And the best part? It's covered by Medicare, and they stay with you for as long as you need help. My Solace advocate is always just a phone call or text away.
96% of patients report better care with a Solace advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. That's S-O-L-A-C-E health.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.